Go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to the special meeting of the Administration and Operations Committee meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System. Today is October 18th and it is 9:05. Can I please have a roll call?
Yes, Ms. King?
Present.
Mr. Klusman is excused. Ms. Sawa?
Present.
Quorum?
Alrighty, and with that, we can start with our agenda item one, which is the renewal of property insurance.
Do we have the representatives from Brown & Brown on the line, Terry?
Yes.
We do. Please. Christine, can you introduce yourself for the record?
I can. My name is Christine Webb. I am the account manager for the Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee here at Brown & Brown Insurance, Hays Companies, Inc. All right, so what we have for you today is the renewal of the package and excess liability policies for ERS. And what this program is covering is the amount of equipment, including computers, office equipment, and other property other than building that is owned by ERS. This is also covering your general liability exposure. So this could be your premises liability. If a participant comes to one of your office locations, if they would suffer an injury, that would be covered here. This is also covering your personal injury and advertising liability. In addition, this program is going to cover the risk of having ERS members using automobiles in service of ERS and the program, and then there's an excess liability limit that sits on top of that. This coverage has been with Hanover Insurance for the last few years. The coverage has moved to Hanover because they offered some premium savings. They have very nice coverage offerings. And we thought it would be prudent this year, as we have in the past, to do a little marketing activity to go out and obtain alternate quotes, just to make sure that the premium and the coverage was going to be the best fit for your group. So I'll have you move forward to page 4 of the document. Oops. Nope, you are on the right page. I'm in the wrong proposal. Got a lot of exciting things to present to you guys today. All right, so you're in the right spot. These are the premium results. So what you are looking at here, you can see by line of coverage what those premiums are. The next column is the premiums that were paid to Hanover for the annual premiums last year. That was a total premium of $13,800. In the next column, you can see the renewal that was negotiated with Hanover. That renewal premium is $15,029. And you can see that there is an increase in the property limit that was included within there. And that's really what's driving most of that premium increase. An increase of replacement cost values of 8% was used. That's based on current benchmarks from the property insurance industry. The overall premium from Hanover increased 8.9%. This is actually a very excellent renewal result. This is in line with what we are seeing for a lot of our clients. However, the market's pretty good right now. We are finding savings for some clients, and so that's why we wanted to go out, do our due diligence, and look for another option. We approached this year's Cincinnati Insurance and CNA. Cincinnati was interested in quoting and has provided the alternate terms that you can see in the column on the second from the right. Their total premium offering is $11,789. This coverage is going to be very comparable to what you have with Hanover. However, their recommendation was to look at a $10,000 property deductible instead of $1,000 because their pricing went down quite a bit at that deductible level. And so you can see that here, $11,789 compared with $15,029, over $3,000 in savings with that option. It's a strong market. It's a comprehensive program. It offers you quite a bit of savings. If you are comfortable with that property deductible, I do think the Cincinnati program makes a lot of sense. So I'll stop there and open it up for questions.
Molly, do you have any questions?
No, I don't really have many questions. I'm just curious, Christine, how are we faring with our peers? How are we benchmarked with our peers as it relates to coverage?
So I think the most relevant benchmark when it comes to these coverages that we're looking at today would be your excess liability limit. So property, we want to make sure that you have coverage for the amount of property that's owned by ERS. And that's going to be determined by the amount of property you have adjusted for inflation. And I agree with what they did there. And then your excess limit is a $5 million limit. And really what this excess limit is going to apply to, or at least what we would expect, would be a slip and fall within the building, or some type of automobile accident where the driver's personal insurance has been exhausted, and this policy is going to respond excess of that, or maybe a vehicle has been rented. And so this $5 million excess limit right here, I would say, is in the high to middle range of what we would expect for an operation with the number of employees you have, focused on local travel, a set number of locations.
There's another factor here too, Molly. This is Jerry. We have, unlike many of our other public fund peers, we have a medical council that meets every month, and we have a sizable number of disability people who are coming into our building. And we've had a lot of litigation within this group. We have very active attorneys that are associated with the public safety unions that are not shy about bringing litigation. We've seen some of that, the 5.8%. And in the event that someone comes in here and is injured, we're a little more comfortable in having excess limits to protect us against having to pay it out of pocket. So that's really the reason for, in my opinion anyway, of having a $5 million excess, because we are exposed to so many folks that have, disabilities that are in our building all the time for the council. We do the re-exams here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and for $2,500 in premium from Cincinnati for a full $5 million limit, if you were to reduce that $5 million, you wouldn't save $2,500 divided by five. You may only save a couple hundred dollars because that premium pricing is tiered, and your top layers are very low in premium. Your lower layers are much higher in premium. So I think when we look at both your exposure and the way that this is priced, the full $5 million limit makes sense.
Okay. And is the property deductible for $10,000 and the price decrease, is that normal?
Yeah, I do think, I think that the savings between the two options, the amount of savings compared to the deductible,
right,
is very good here. So you're saving over $3,000 to go up to a $10,000 deductible, which is about a 3-year payback. you know, if you think if you have a loss and you do have to pay that higher deductible of $10,000, it's going to take you 3 years of premium savings, you know, to catch up on that. And that's a really, really good return in the insurance world, especially on property. We're generally happy if we see something, you know, 7 or 8 years. And this has obviously been much less than that. So I think those savings are very attractive, especially when you look back at the loss history of ERS. They've never had a property claim payout, at least in our recent working experience together.
Along the lines, I just question, this is a one-year plan, though, right?
It is.
So if we were to have a situation occur in between 2023 to 2024, we will have a deductibles of $10,000 as opposed to $1,000.
That is correct. So it would have to make sense financially, you know, that you could cover that amount in the next year without having kind of time to plan for that or maybe save that deductible amount.
So Christine,
But in the next year, we don't know that this is going to be the exact same things. All things will be equal. This might not be the exact same plan that's offered in 2024, 12-1, 2024 to 12-1, 2025. Is that not the case?
That is correct. Yep, we would work the renewal next year, and it would be subject to underwriting. There could be some changes in the rates.
Jerry,
look back is just kind of a rough benchmarking tool. Definitely not perfect, but it's a way to think about it.
So, Christine, how many years are required for payback, you know, to break even on a lower premium to cover a higher deductible, even though it is potentially subject to change, just on the current contract?
We would use that tool to compare two options to each other. So what's your payback to take on the additional risk? If we look at your renewal, Hanover is offering the same $1,000 deductible. So we really wouldn't consider that a payback. You know, you're just keeping the terms where they are.
Oh, I guess I didn't ask the question very well. There's an additional increase to stay with Hanover, right, of almost 9%.
Yes.
It looks like, you know, 4,500 or something, 4,300 additional. So that covers the additional deductible in a matter of, what, 2-3 years?
It does.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Just under 3 years.
And so what is, I guess, Jerry, this question is more to you. What are you comfortable with in terms of the differences of the property deductibles?
Well, our claim history is we've never had a claim.
Okay.
So we would get repaid for having a higher deductible within a matter of a couple of years. So seems like a pretty good bet. In other words, we're self-insuring the retention of $10,000, and we have that covered within about 3 years. Of course, there is, as Molly noted, always a potential the deductible would raise, but we also have the ability to go to the marketplace. And of course,
right,
there is an insurance cycle and appetites for this issuing this kind of coverage wax and wane over time. But our claim history here has been pretty good for, you know, general property casualty, no claims.
So Jerry, you're saying, what I heard you say, you're comfortable with that $10,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I think that's a fair statement because within 3 years we will have, you know, covered that risk.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm comfortable if you're comfortable, which is why I wanted to ask you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Christine. So do we just need to make a motion on what we recommend? Is that how it works then, Jerry?
Yes, the motion would be in order.
I'd like to make that motion, Mr. Chair.
To renew, to actually go with Cincinnati then?
Cincinnati, as recommended by Director Allen.
Okay, and I will second that motion. Seeing no other buddy is here, then that motion will pass and then we'll take it to the full board on Tuesday, right, Jerry?
Yes.
Okay, so then let's move on to agenda item 2, the renewal of the fiduciary and cyber insurance.
Excellent. And Ashley, would it be possible for us to discuss the fiduciary liability first on the cyber?
Sure.
Wonderful. I'll save the best notes for last.
Do we have it?
We did the fiduciary last meeting.
Right.
Yeah, I thought so too.
We have discussed this, so we may not need to address it again with this group here.
The agenda. The agenda should have read just cyber.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I thought we did the fiduciary.
We did.
No problem. Well, Ryan, you are excused.
Happy to help. Great. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Okay, it's moving to cyber then.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Jen Falkenholm. I am on the ERS account. I'm a cyber broker with Brown & Brown. And so we can talk a little bit about the renewal just before we get started. Just as a refresher, the cyber insurance is covering ERS for third-party liability associated with your network and privacy security. So if ERS were to be sued or some sort of action brought against them for not protecting data or not securing the network, these policies provide coverage there. There is also first-party coverage in a cyber insurance policy. So if ERS had to hire a lawyer or a computer forensics firm, a ransom negotiator, et cetera, there is first-party coverage also available, just at a high level. So if we start scrolling through the document, I can talk about what the expiring policy, the structure of the, that's that first table there. So the structure of the expiring policy is that it has $5 million in limit, over $100,000 each claim retention. The way the program is set up, it has three carriers. So Chubb being the primary carrier with a primary $1 million. There's a first access carrier who provides the $2.5 million access over that $1 million primary. And then you have the second access carrier, Star, who provides the $1.5 million excess of the $3.5 million. The total premium for the expiring program is $165,601. So for the renewal, we went to the incumbents, and if we scroll down a little bit, we can see that what we're suggesting or recommending is a little bit of a different structure. So the cyber market right now is stabilizing. So it's been sort of challenging the last couple of years. The last few months, 2023, we've seen a steady, stabilizing of the market. So carriers are more willing to offer more limit, take on risk that they weren't able to before, previously in the last couple of years, et cetera. So this year, Chubb was willing to offer a primary $3 million with that same $100,000 each claim retention at $67,932. And then we were able to secure a first access of $2 million excess of $3 million to get us to that expiring limit of $5 million. Star is offering that at $41,983. For a total program premium of $109,915. So this total program premium that we're recommending is a 33% discount over, or not discount, but reduction over last year's premium. The reason why we're recommending that we have STAR at that first access position is because they're agreeing to substantially or you know, mostly, you know, very slim differences follow the primary Chubb wording, which is always our goal, because when you're dealing with a claim, you don't want there to be, you know, mid-tower of insurance to be changes with the coverage. What Emergent Risk was needing to do, because they're a Lloyd's London market, is change the war exclusion. It's not a huge deal. It may not be a big impact, you know, to ERS at any time, but it's just a cleaner way to place a program is to not have any coverage change mid-tower. So I, you know, I'm recommending we move that first access to STAR, and we still have the $5 million in limits at a reduced premium.
Ms. Chair?
Yes.
I'm just...
Go ahead, Molly.
A couple of quick questions is, help me understand, I guess, I don't know why I keep forgetting, I think we do this every year and I keep maybe asking the same sort of question every year, so forgive me here. Help me understand, just bring it down to layperson's term, what do you mean by retention and tower, you mentioned the term, and there's a second subset in one that you did explain, and I'm happy, we like seeing a reduction in premium costs, obviously, but just understand, what are we giving up?
Well, retention is insurance term of art for deductible. It means we retain $100,000 of the risk, okay? So we would have to, you know, cover the first $100,000 of loss as a deductible. And then, so I would ask Christine to go ahead and explain the other term.
Quite frankly, yeah.
Thanks, Jerry.
So I think I was using some insurance broker speak, and I apologize for that. So when we layer insurance to get to a certain limit, so basically, so for example, in your expiring cyber program, you have 1 million, and then stacked above that is 1.5 million, stacked above that is 2.5 million. So when we're stacking limits like that with different insurers, that's what I'm calling a tower of insurance.
And if you have a claim, Chubb would respond first until they have paid their whole limit. And if they paid their whole limit, then the next insurer, the tower, then they would take over on the claim and they would pay their limit. And if you had a claim that even exhausted those limits, then the next insurer would come in. So rather than them sharing in the whole loss, they're each going to cover the portion that they're willing to until all of those limits are exhausted.
Okay. It's what I hear you saying. Go ahead.
In terms of giving something up, you're just giving up another player, right? So you're just, you know, each insurer is giving you more limit, so you're losing one, you're just losing one organization to deal with in the event of a claim, really.
Right. I would say you're losing them.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't it the opposite, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're sort of gaining, right? It's a positive, I would say.
You're gaining simplicity in your program.
Right, that's what I was thinking. And because it's still 5 million both ways, right? The one that's ending now is 5, and then this month coming up would be 5 as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's still the same amount of coverage, just with less insurers.
Yeah. I'll also add that Chubb did make some improvements to the primary wording, which of course STAR follows, so your excess policies follow that wording. You know, they removed a neglected software exploit endorsement, they've increased limit or removed co-insurance for some contingent business interruption and some other small minor changes, but they did improve the wording with their renewal terms. So overall, I think it's a very positive renewal result.
Mr. Chair, I just want to ask, is it okay to ask Jeff, looking at those changes, do you have any concerns or questions or anything on those?
Absolutely not. So actually, I was going to mention here as well, this is from the stabilization of the market, but also the hard work my staff has done improving our security posture. So it was probably 5 or 6 months ago, we got the initial list of things the insurers were going to look for, and we checked a lot more boxes this year. So we did an enormous amount of work on this with new products and tightening up our security posture. So that combination, I think, is what this results from.
That's great. Awesome.
Jeff, your team made us look very good this year, and we appreciate that.
Yes.
Okay, so did you have more to present, or?
We can scroll down to benchmarking. So this, we have a slide that shows exposure, you know, possible exposure. Chubb has a calculator, which is Chubb is provides a very, very large percentage of the cyber insurance available in the marketplace. So they have a lot of data. They also partner with NetDiligence for data. So they have a calculator. When we put data points in to reflect ERS, their estimate is that an incident would cost about $3 million. So I guess what this is saying to us is that you definitely have reasonable limits based off of this exposure data.
I think that would be a caveat that we always do. ERS is very unique given the nature of your operations and the size of your operation. So we'll always look in benchmarking, you know, we'll see what's in there, but quite often we're pulling in, you know, some data that is going to be from smaller organizations. So while this may look like your current limit is a little high, I don't know if that's necessarily what this is saying when we take into account just the total value of assets that are, a part of your overall program.
Great. This last graph here just shows, again, like as Christine said, it's hard to really put ERS in a box and get an exact apples to apples, but it just shows where the limits distribution is of your peers and what your peers are purchasing. So ERS would be at that, you know, further right end. So clearly, as close as we can say that the $5 million limits is reasonable compared to peers.
Yeah, and unfortunately, this tool doesn't allow us to only pull in larger organizations. So you're going to be on the far end because you're in this mix with, you know, every little town and Main Street America as well, who are obviously going to carry a much lower limit.
That's all I have. Does anyone have any questions about the cyber renewal?
I'm good, Molly. Did you have any more?
No, I'm pretty good too. I appreciate the thoroughness and addressing the questions and things like that. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we just need to make a motion then to renew with this new stack.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
And I will second it, and hearing that there's no anybody else here, the motion passes to go to the board on Tuesday. Thank you. Both of
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. Okay. Moving on to our last agenda item, is the ERS Banking Services Contract. Please be advised that the Administration and Operations Committee may vote to convene in closed session on the following item 3, as provided in section 19.851E, Wisconsin State Statutes, to deliberate or negotiate the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session. The Administration and Operations Committee may then vote to reconvene in open session. following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed session?
I'll make that motion, Chair.
Thank you, and I will second. And then can I have a roll call, please, Jan?
Sure. Ms. King?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Quorum, and please say the time, and I'll pause the recorder.
The time is 9:35.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Hold on one second.
Alex, thank you for your work on this.
Okay. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay, 9:50, and we're back in open session on agenda item 3, ERS Banking Services Contract. Can I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion to refer to approval to the full board.
Okay, so this is recommending that the ERS staff go with the finalists for the banking services contract. Mm-hmm. Okay, and with that, I believe we are done with our agenda. So, may I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, and I'll second. And the time is 9:54.